This is Ken McCarthy of Jazz on the Tube, and we're here with Camilo Moreira Coro.
That's it.
And he's just spent his first week as a free man in New York City. He's been here before, but he had the task of not only directing the band from Havana, the youth orchestra. Yeah, but he also had to babysit them. And if you've ever had to babysit teenagers on the road, imagine Cuban teenagers in Manhattan. It was pretty wild. So he didn't have any time to do anything except do things. So on this trip, we were able to see the city a little bit and go to a lot of clubs. And most important to me, we spent an entire day with the great Bobby Sanabria, who was so generous with us. He gave us an amazing tour of the Bronx. So what did you learn on that tour? Did you learn anything new? Were you surprised by anything?
I was really surprised. I mean, really, really surprised about, you know, Puerto Rican culture in New York and the huge influence the Puerto Rican community have with Cuban music. You know, how they were engaged in all Cuban music styles, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, the day we went to Blue Note to see Eddie Palmieri.
Yes.
They were playing actually the same kind of music they will be playing in Cuba, you know, in a jazz club or in a, you know, maybe other place, but it would definitely sound like Cubans.
And you did not expect to hear Puerto Rican people playing that kind of music. What did you expect?
Not in that way, you know. They were singing actually Cuban songs.
Uh-huh.
So I was very impressed my thoughts about the Blue Notes Jazz Club. You know, I thought it would be jazz kind of music, you know, more swing styles or at least more Latin jazz, you know. But this was, for me, I identify it like a jazz influence, but it sounds very Cuban to me, you know. I was really impressed. That's what I can tell about that.
And so basically the Puerto Rican musicians were really the carriers, the holders of the flame, you know, of the torch for the Cuban music.
Yeah, they were. I mean, even though there were some Cubans musicians in New York, the Puerto Rican community was bigger than Cubans. So they were close to each other, and, you know, that was the kind of music they became more close to. And that's what Bobby explained me, because it was quite new for me to, you know. I mean, I thought that Puerto Rican guys were being playing more like plena and, you know, Puerto Rican more traditional music, no? Even though they have quite many similarities, but the thing is that they learn how to play from Cuban musicians, and where they were defending was mambo and, you know, the Cuban genres. And I didn't expect that. So it was very interesting for me, the whole experience, because the other thing is that they really play well the Cuban music, you know. It's, you can close your eyes and you cannot tell if you were from, you know, you can actually tell that they were from Cuba. At least in spirit, soul of the music, no.
And then at the Blue Note, Eddie, maybe we'll find the recording of it and play it. But Eddie was saying that in the 40s, in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, they listened to a lot of Cuban music.
He named some of the groups that he really studied and revered.
He used to listen to Orquesta Aragón and, you know, the whole Arsenios and, well, Candido. Yeah, that Mongo Santa Maria, Chico Farrell, Mario Bauzá, Machitos. And well, that was their main influence, which is from Cuba.
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason you see us just elated up here, especially me and Nelson and all of us, we have all been students of what we talked about before, the orchestras, like Arsenio, Chapo D, Orquesta Aragón, every orchestra that came out of Cuba, Benny Moré, the big band, they were unique from, I would say, let's put it from the 20s, 30s, but from the 40s to the 60s, that was insane of what they played. Celia Cruz with La Sonora Matancera. You just played the one after the other. And there's where we learned, and that's where we found our mentors on the different instruments. Like you said, I had two of them. First of all, I had three of them. My brother Charlie Palmieri. And then Jesus Lopez. He was my second. And then Luis Grignan, known as Lili Martinez. And they were just, what they were playing, let me put it this way. When you talk about Arsenio, which we learned from a gentleman called Blanco that Rennie loves very much, you talk before or after Arsenio. When you go into classical music, you talk before or after Claude Debussy. And that's what we're talking about here. These compositions were recorded by the greatest musician that we'll never hear again. And what we're doing tonight is enjoying ourselves to the highest degree, because with these compositions is when I learned how to play correctly in the genre, and working with the rhythm section and working with the tres and the bass player for sure. So we're enjoying ourselves very much. We certainly hope you are too, okay? Yeah.
And then Bobby took us to Arsenio Rodriguez Way, which is a street. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, I didn't expect to encounter that, you know. It was great for me.
And then we saw, when we were at the Casita Maria, we saw that beautiful painting of Arsenio.
Yeah, I was proud of, you know, my Cuban culture here in New York. It was so alive, I mean, really alive.
And then Bobby explained a lot to you about the incredible challenges that the Puerto Rican community had in the Bronx.
That was tough.
It's kind of shocking.
Yeah,
shocking. To hear what they had to go through.
Totally. I mean, yeah, it was huge. They had a very bad, you know, really bad experience in those days.
But they resisted. We learned about the three sisters.
Lucky them that they recovered, you know, a refuge in their music, in the Cuban music.
The music helped.
Yeah.
The music was important.
Yeah, I think. And they, as Bobby said, it was very, you know, like a way to not sinking in so many troubles, and a way to escape of the
and also to a point of pride, you know.
It's also, yeah, to defend the, you know, their cultures.
Yeah,
it was pretty great.
So what would you tell your musician friends in Cuba if they said, well, what is the Bronx, why is the Bronx important?
That's interesting. You know, I think I can talk about from the point of view of a lot of young guys in Cuba. I always have thought about the Bronx, about that, you know, that kind of neighborhood which is really dangerous and have some shootings. But I didn't realize that. Well, what I actually realized when we went there, there's a lot of Hispanic influences and a lot of community, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't so, at least what I saw, you know, so dangerous. It's less dangerous, I think. No? And also, you know, the buildings was a little different than I have saw in movie. Maybe the movies I have listened. Was from maybe 90s or 80s. And yeah, totally a different point of view from the Bronx.
Great. And then we visited Mike Amadeo's record store. Explain that to anybody who has never seen it.
Whoa.
And explain Mike and his spirit.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he was a very great guy. You know, I really appreciate the explanation he made for us, and he showed me in the bag of his store, and there was a plate,
a record, original
record from El Manicero, and he had it there with a lot of pride.
He
was very proud to have it. Also, he was very proud. His dad, who was a Puerto Rican composer, who has wrote a few, really important songs for the Cuban and Puerto Rican culture. And, well, he also sang me some of his own songs, and played to me some of his recording songs. And he showed me all his photos from his band when he used to have the band he writes for, and you know, he was very proud about his music and his culture, and we totally connect because we were, you know, repeating the clave to fit the clave with the song, and totally it was a very nice experience.
great. I remember he was singing his song to you and showing you how it was put together.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, let's maybe now you can switch to Spanish and just say in Spanish whatever you think is important for people that maybe don't speak English. They don't know what, so do a Spanish version. I can't help you much with that, so I'll just step back here.
Okay.
But if somebody's a Cuban musician and they're trying to get an understanding of the Bronx and of Cuba's influence in the world, you know, you could tell them in Spanish what you learned.
Me parece que en estos momentos la música cubana tiene una vitalidad y una fuerza bien importante, creo yo, y sobre todo que tiene un público que bueno aquí en los Estados Unidos, o sea, muchas personas que realmente le fascina la música de Cuba, y en estos momentos la gran mayoría de los músicos que las están defendiendo son puertorriqueños, que es algo sorprendente, aunque hay algunos cubanos bien posicionados en el ámbito musical, pero aún así me impresionó, bueno, que ver personas como Eddie Palmieri, el mismo Bobby Sanabria. O sea que es bien curioso para mí que nuestra música, y me alegra también, por supuesto, que estemos así de hermanados en esa forma, ¿no? Con la música, a través de la música.
Mortal.
Okay.
Gracias.